I will take topics, various times and so on, and share them on Wednesday night. But the one I like to get to most of all is prayer. And to have, as Pastor Porter was bringing us a number of messages on prayer. And so I thought I'd take us through. It's one that I've been through before, but these are things that they're not earth-shaking new developments. It's going back. Who was it? The football guy that would always start out the training saying, "This is a football," and he would tell the dimensions of it and start at the very basics. A V word, famous football guy. I always liked that concept.
Vince Lombardi.
What is it?
Is it Vince Lombardi?
It might be. Was he a coach?
I don't know.
That's a V word, so it might be it. To the people who know these things, a very famous man. So we're going to ask a simple question. What is prayer? What is prayer? We're going to be looking in these series of messages the importance of prayer. So what is prayer? I want you to recognize that mankind, in all ages and in all places, everywhere, in every time, has prayed. And this is interesting because it is so diametrically opposed to the general mankind's attitude of proud self-sufficiency. I can do it myself. Yes?
It was Vince Lombardi.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. Our Google researcher has come through. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Nancy. And thank you, Vince. So let's just look very, very quickly tonight, four things about prayer. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is not mere wishing. I've told the story often enough, you should remember it. Scott Craney, he and Militia were at the hospital with one of their babies, I forget, it was early on, and he was sitting outside, Militia was in with the baby, and the baby was just kind of screaming, crying, not having a good time at all while they were, I don't know, investigating the baby, doing something, you know. And he found himself saying, "Come on, come on, boy, come on, you can do it, come on, settle down now, settle down." And then he stopped to think and he said, "What am I doing? I'm just talking to myself here, making little wishes, you know." So he actually prayed, "Lord, calm this little one down." And he said it was just a strange coincidence that immediately the crying stopped. And he kind of laughed to himself about how the two things happened at once. And then bit by bit, the baby began to cry again and louder and so on. And he prayed again, and immediately the baby quieted down. He was telling Alicia about it. He said, "Twice I prayed for the baby and he quieted down." She says, "So that's what it was. We were looking at the baby, like, has he choked or what? You know, why did he stop so suddenly?" God just quieted the baby. This is prayer. It's not wishing. It's speaking to God, the God who rules every planet, every star, every molecule, every atom, who puts all the subatomic particles together to make this reality that we call the real stuff. This God has invited us, has commanded us, if we are his family, to pray to him. This is a communing fellowship with God. Remember how Christ, when the disciples asked him to teach them to pray, he said, "Begin with this, our Father which art in heaven." our exalted Heavenly Father. You start out with the relationship. This is communion with the one who is your Heavenly Father, who has accepted you as the Son of God. John Gill said this: prayer is the breath of a regenerate soul, born-again soul. As soon as a child is born into the world, it cries. As soon as a soul is born again, it prays. Where there is life, there is breath. Where there is spiritual life, there are spiritual breathings. Such souls breathe after God, pant after Him, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. So let's settle it very clearly. This is not just our religious musings. This is not talking to ourselves. This is not preaching to others under the guise of praying to God. This is actually talking to Him. This means have a sense of reverence as you approach Him. The repetitious prayer, you can pray without thinking about it. I was taught, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And, somebody was saying, if we ever thought about that prayer, we're talking about dying in the middle of the night while we're sleeping and God taking us, we'd be scared to death going to bed. But we didn't think about it. It was a prayer we said, not a prayer we prayed. I've told you also when I was down at Bob Jones University, one Bible conference, for the novelty of it, they had tin buckets they passed around for the offering, and they said, put in your change. And it was the noisiest thing. They actually apologized to the soloist who was supposed to be playing or singing during the time. I had that one come back and do it again when we could actually hear. But the business people were busy. One lady I was talking to, she said, she spent the whole morning with handfuls of pennies saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, slide it across. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, slid it across. Then finally the lunch break came. She went in, sat down, got her food, sat down at the table and bowed her head. And she said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She just plugged in the plug to the wrong memory system, instead of saying the normal thank you for this food thing. She plugged it into the other, and it just bothered her that when she bowed to talk to the Lord of the universe, it just was some repetitious thing. She didn't have to think about it. We then speak to the most high being of the universe. But we're not being sacrilegious in this. In fact, secondly, prayer is commanded by God, not merely invited, but commanded. You are disobedient if you as a believer, as a child of God, are not praying. Listen, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. That's a commandment, isn't it? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty or hidden things which thou knowest not. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Active in praying for those who are not nice to you. Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Each week we have a missionary, one of our missionaries, and we pray for them. One of the things we should be praying for is more people actively in the harvest. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, excuse me, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. This doesn't mean you can never do anything else. It means don't stop praying. Don't take a vacation in your Christian life from praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. And James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So he has commanded us. This is something we are to do. It is a duty as well as a privilege. The third thing is this: prayer is asking God for help. At the heart of the word pray and prayer is the concept of asking. I pray you, I beg you, I ask something from you, see? Listen to Exodus 17:8-13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. This, as far as I remember, is the first time that Joshua was asked to be the head of the army. I can just imagine this big gulp. Yes, sir. They go out to fight. He says, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God. That's the staff turned into snake and parted the Red Sea. With the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, three of them, went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Well, that's no good. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone, put it under him. He sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. Do you know that's what we're doing tonight? We're holding each other's hands up to the Lord. We're helping each other pray for the burdens on our heart. The one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And what happened? And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. It sounds discomfortable. This is it, asking for God's help. And whatever the battle is that you're fighting, you're facing, God is more powerful than the enemy. Many of us grew up understanding that if we really wanted something from mom and dad, we needed to be in a good relationship before we ask. This is God. Finally, then, tonight, prayer is the normal and expected response to burdens and to heartfelt joy. It was Jerry Forsten who suggested, and I saw the wisdom of it, to call this not prayer meeting, but prayer and praise. And prayer is, for the believer, the normal and expected response to problems and joys, for prayer and praise. Looking first at burdens, Isaiah 59:16, and he saw that there was no man. God saw that there was no man and wondered. God wondered that there was no intercessor. All of this is happening to you, all of this is crushing down on you, and nobody is standing up for the people and praying for them? Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. The burdens should produce prayer. But backslidden hearts, people involved in self first, they're not praying for others. But also praises. I love reading these verses. 1 Chronicles 16:4, And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. They were recording their blessings. They were keeping track of this. They had a praise book. They had an answered prayer book, you see. They could go back to that. They could remember these things. They could say, God is strong. God is powerful. I remember now as I read this that he did this and he did that. After we came to Open Door, my wife and I started feeling the crunch of having lived for about a year out in Denver without sufficient money. And we had put everything on credit, just having to pay that down. So we made some crunch decisions, and money was going to go to pay off those debts. But that meant we didn't really have enough money for normal, everyday stuff. But when we made this commitment to God and we just asked him to show us that this was his will, it was like doors opened. And people started giving us things. People started taking care of us. My wife said, we've got to write this down. I had a business envelope somebody had sent me, and I turned it over on the back and started writing it. I filled up that entire thing. God just, the one time we went out to eat as a church on Easter Sunday morning, after the morning, what do you call it, the sunrise service. We went out to eat, and old Dean Kopp came walking by. He'd never done that before. He'd never done it since. Came walking by, and he picked up our restaurant ticket. Said, I'll take care of that. It was during that time where we had saved up money, especially to pay for the meal. I remember the burden on me at that time. Pastor Daryl Moore invited me to go to a preaching conference, and we went out, and there was a table full of books. He and I are book lovers. And he said, well, pick out one. He says, I'll gift it to you. I remember the words. And I looked at him, and I said, you don't have to do that. He says, well, of course, I know. But there was something that just happened. You record these things. Make it a matter of praise. 1 Chronicles 23, verses 24 and 30. These were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of names by their polls, that did the work for the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and upward. And to stand, and here's their job, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. You think that's a good idea? Make it your exercise of the mind to stand up in the morning, perhaps raise your face to heaven and say, thank you for, and then scramble for what you're thanking him for. And then every evening, thank you for preserving us through the day, for giving us the gift of life, giving us the opportunity of service. Thank him for the day's protection, the day's activity. Let's imitate the Levites. And Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord. Not just in your particular happiness, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely. You know what comely means? Beautiful. Would you like to look, spruce up your looks before God? Would you like to be beautiful in his eyes? Praise is comely for the upright. So, what is prayer? Prayer is communion with God. It is obedience because it's commanded by God. Prayer is asking God for help. And it's just the natural, normal response of the heart when you have a burden, but also when you have a praise, when you have a blessing.